الحمد لله رب العالمين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له أراد ما العباد فاعلوه ولو عصمهم لما خالفوه ولو شاء يطيعوه جميعا لأطاعوه وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله وملائكته والصالحون من خلقه عليه كما وحد الله وعرف به ودعا إليه اللهم وعلى آله وأصحابه وعلى من اقتفى أثره واتبع سنته ومنهجه بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. We continue إن شاء الله with the book of Sharh al-Sunnah. Before we proceed, just wanted to mention one thing, that a believer is always kayyisun fatin, meaning he is smart, intelligent, and has the common sense and has the logic, and it's not easy to be fooled as far as the deen, or fooled as far as the dunya, or fooled as other things. And I like this example that given by some of our current scholars, mentioned this story about a man who wanted to reach those who greed, who love the money more than anything else, and he wanted to get their money. And you know, it is the hardest thing is if you want to get money from someone who loves money, it is very hard. But this man had a donkey, and he stuffed his donkey with dirahim, dinanir, money, papers, waraq, and he put it in his mouth, and he covered his mouth, took it to the market. And when the donkey start making his sound, I don't know what you call it, hiqa al-himar, I don't know what there is. What is it?
Brain.
Brain. Yeah, nahiq. So he let the lijam off, and the dirahim, the dinanir, start coming out of his mouth. So everybody who were not paying attention to this man, who said, I want to sell my donkey, everybody looking at him from a distance, the man with the jewelry, the man with the trader, the man with the... Everybody, once you see that donkey start spitting money, and he starts going down there and picking up the money, and the people come to him, what is the story? He said, I want to sell this donkey. Why you want to sell this donkey? What's wrong with it? No. But he every time he makes brain, he spits money out of his mouth. So those, the most one with the money, the most one agreed with the money, they came forward and said, I give you this, I give you that. So they paid 100 times the actual price of the donkey. So when the man, one of the greed one, took it to home, and his wife told him, are you out of your mind? Who spent this much money on a donkey? He said, this is not a normal donkey. This is a donkey that that when it yanhaq, I'm going to say yanhaq, so you know what means yanhaq. Yanhaq, he gives money out. And she said, what? He said, let's watch. And then here is the donkey start yanhaq in the back of his house. So he goes running to him, look under the ground. Oh, there is no money. So he said, maybe, you know, there is constipation. So he waited for the second time, the third time, and the man realized that he was fooled. And it's not easy. So he went to the tajar al-balad. You know, the tajar I'm talking about are the traders of the town. And he told him, this man is a trade. He tricked me and he did this to me. And he said, oh, we cannot allow this because he's one of their top, you know, tajar. So they all gather and go to his house. And his wife opened the door. Welcome. Oh, the nobles of the city, this and that. What you came here for? He said, we came to your husband. We want to see your husband. No, he's not here. But let me sing the dog to get him. So she had a dog. She let the dog go. And minutes later, the man came. And he said, oh, mashallah, you know, this is my favorite visitors in my house. Did you host him yet? She said, no, not yet. She said, please go get something for them, you know. Welcome, hello. He said, no, forget that. What is the story with the dog? He said, what's wrong? He said, the dog, you know, when wherever I go, he'll come and get me for my family. So they forgot about the reason they came for. And they said, okay, well, can you sell us the dog? And everybody, you know, started giving the price for the dog. And until one of the one with the greed would love the money again, he took the dog and he took it to his wife and said, oh, what is the matter with you buying? What is you spend this much for a dog? He said, no. See, I'm going to go out somewhere far away and just send the dog, he will get me. So the wife let the dog out, he never came back. So who again, they said, this man, he is really a problem to the city, so we need to get rid of him. So they go ahead and everybody gathered to him, you know.
The dog didn't go and get the other guy.
No, he gone. He never came back. You know, it's a wild dog. So tricked him the third time for another thing. I'm just trying to shorten the story. And finally, they decided to put him in a bag, tie him up, and they told the people caravan, said, go ahead in the desert, go far away in the sea, and put him in a boat and throw him in the sea. We don't need him. So as the travelers go in, you know, they go into the sea, so they have to go through land. So they were sitting down, relaxing, and when the entire crew sitting down in the middle of the desert somewhere, a shepherd came in, and he heard the noise, open, help me, help me. Then he untied, while the other was resting, he goes untie the bag. What is your story? He said, these people want me to marry my cousin. She is very wealthy, but I love another woman. I don't want to marry her because I'm not in need for the money. So the ra'i, man. So can I switch with you? So he put me in the bag. And he walked away. They took the man and they took him to the boat and threw him in the sea. And the man came back to them. He said, we know that we throw you in the sea. He said, well, see, you don't know what happened to me. When you threw me in the sea, a mermaid find me on the bottom of the ocean, and she brought me back, and she gave me a lot of money with me. And everybody saying to everybody, let's go to the sea, throw ourselves. Maybe we'll find her sister, and never came back. So brothers, you cannot be fooled if your heart is with Allah. What I'm trying to say is, if your heart is with Allah, nothing can attract you. What doesn't matter what it is. You can tell them al-mal wal-banun zinatul hayat al-dunya wal-baqiyat al-salihat khayrun 'inda rabbik thawaban wa khayrun amala. This is the goal, this is the aim, this is the destination that every Muslim they should live their life for. Life without روحانيات الله سبحانه وتعالى to be touched with عباد الله سبحانه وتعالى, it's a vacant. And the reason for this gathering is for us. We need to understand our deen, and no one can fool us and can point about this and that and claiming this is the haqq and this is not the haqq, and this is a group and this is a group and this is a group. This book of Sharh al-Sunnah is trying to tell us that if we start agreeing on groups, then we become among the, how many sects are misguided? Among the 72. Only the 73 is the saved one, which is the last one. So 72 of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam are into this ways of this group and that group. We don't believe in groups. We believe it what? مَا جَاءَ بِهِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى عَلَى قَلْبِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, which is Al-Quran wa Sunnah. And this is what this book is, Sharh al-Sunnah, is all about. And inshallah we'll continue with the next chapter inshallah.
We're in the chapter of belief in the punishment of the grave.
So, you know, this is something important that many, some denying the punishment of the grave. And some believe that this is only in the Akhirah. And in the qabr there is nothing except, you know, rest. Rest in peace. I don't know about rest in peace. There is no rest and there is no peace. إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ رَبِّي. Correct? So sometimes we go to the grave, and I'm sure you've seen it, that you've seen somebody standing on the grave and talking. It could be a son, could be a wife, could be a husband, could be a brother. And when you tell them, what are you doing, brother? And he said, I'm talking to him. He can hear us. Who told you he can hear you? He said, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke to the people in Badr. He said, it's only that occasion, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, what? وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُسْمِعٍ مَنْ فِي الْقُبُورِ. So we cannot, they do not hear us. The only time is what we know, that they hear us when we bury them. يَسْمَعْ قَرْعَنِ عَالِهِمْ. The one who is in the grave, he can hear us. Can you imagine, you're going to hear, if I'm in the grave, I will hear you when you're walking away from me. If you are in the grave, you will hear us walking away from you. That by itself is scary. Now we can go to our homes right now when we can relax and we have a beautiful home and relaxing and comforting, make yourself a nice cup of tea with mint like me and some nice snacks, and you have a nice cozy couch and nice warm house. Allahumma lakal hamd. But we never prepared ourselves for our first night in the grave, did we? So this is talking about the torture of the grave to those who did not prepare themselves toward it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يقول في كتابه الكريم تلك الدار الآخرة نجعلها للذين يا دسائي تلك الدار الآخرة نجعلها للذين لا يريدون علوا في الأرض ولا فسادا والعاقبة للمتقين. These are the last words الإمام عمر بن عبد العزيز said it before his ruh left his body. You can imagine the amount of connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the last minute. To the last minute. Is the shaitan let you go to the last minute? The shaitan will not let go of you until حتى إذا بلغت الحلقوم وأنتم حينئذ تنظرون. Is the shaitan let you go there? Not yet. He's still with you until الروح تخرج, until the soul is left the body. The shaitan will tell his people, of course I don't want to tell my brothers there. I'm moving my hand up here, you know. Let's go. It's over. We missed one. We did what? Missed one. What does that mean? They were not successful. Why? Because his heart was awake, right? And this is if you need to be saved, inshallah, you have to prepare yourself for that, inshallah. قال المؤلف رحمه الله والإيمان بعذاب القبر ومنكر ونكير.
Likewise, the author said, and to believe in the punishment of the grave, munkar and nakir. Likewise, from the aqidah of al-sunnah wa al-jama'ah, is to believe in the punishment and bliss of the grave. The dead is either punished in his grave or being given bliss till he is resurrected on the day of resurrection. The grave is a state between the worldly life and the hereafter. Consequently, it is called al-barzakh, because the word al-barzakh means a barrier between the two things. Allah the Most High says,
مرج البحرين يلتقيان بينهما برزخ لا يبغيان.
He has let loose the two seas, the salt and the fresh water, meeting together. Between them is a barrier which none of them can transgress. Neither does the salt water encroach upon the fresh water, nor does the fresh water encroach upon the salt water, because Allah has set a barrier between them. This does not mix up with that. So al-barzakh is a partition between two things. This is because abodes are three: the abode of this world, the abode of al-barzakh, and the abode of permanent settlement. These are the abodes which the slaves will pass through. The abode of this world is the place of deeds. The abode of al-barzakh is the place of waiting, while the home of permanent settlement is the abode of recompense. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
what you just heard minutes ago, حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرِ,
until you visit the graves, till you die. This indicates that the graves are not places of residence. Rather, the person therein is just like a visitor who visits and leaves. Being in the grave is regarded as a visit because he, the dead person, stays in it and then leaves. However, once he is placed in the grave, the sand poured over him and people depart from him, he, the dead, indeed hears the shuffling of their shoes. Then two angels will come to him in the grave and make him sit up. His soul is brought back to his body, and he will live a life of an interval period. It is not similar to the life of this world. They will then ask him, who is your Lord? What is your religion? Who is your prophet? If he responds to these questions correctly, he is saved and successful, will be forever devoid of wretchedness after it.
What helps you to answer these questions?
No.
يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. يُثَبِّت means Allah will steadfast. The answer looks very easy. ربي الله دين الإسلام ورسول محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. But if you were not from أهل الدين والإيمان والتوحيد أولا وفوق كل شيء, that the top of the whole thing is توحيد, توحيد الربوبية, توحيد الألوهية, توحيد الأسماء والصفات, لتؤمن بالله حق إيمانه وتخاف الله حق خوفه, يدعون ربهم خوفا وطمعا, then Allah سبحانه وتعالى will make you as he promised, يثبت الله الذين آمنوا بالقول الثابت. This steadfast of answering is not to everyone, because there are others will be kind of in a shaky mood.
His grave will be made spacious for him as far as his eyes can see. A door will be opened for him to the paradise so that its breeze and fragrance reach him. A furnishing of paradise will be ordered for him. He will continue to be in bliss in his grave.
Can you imagine? Can you just for a second imagine that you smell the smell of Jannah, but you're not in it yet? Just the smell of Jannah, that will bring youth back to your body.
This is an unseen matter which we do not know about. Were we to open the grave, we would not find anything of such, because he, the dead, is in a world while we are in another. As for the hypocrite and the doubtful person, when he is asked, "Who is your Lord?" he will say, "I don't know." "Who is your prophet?" "I don't know." "What is your religion?" "I don't know." Even if he was a scholar in this world who memorized texts, commentaries, knew the language, was a fluent orator and an eloquent speaker, but if he does not have iman, he will falter in the grave and be unable to answer when he is asked about these issues. He will fumble by saying,
"Ha ha, ha, ha," indicating of wandering. Huh? Huh? Like you're not understanding. لا أدري. سمعت الناس يقولون شيئا فقلته. فيفتح له باب إلى النار ويضيق عليه قبره حتى تختلف أضلاعه ويأتيه من سمومها وحرها ويفرش له فراش من النار.
Ha! Ha! I don't know. I heard the people say something, so I said it. So a door to hell will be opened for him. His grave will be constricted for him so much that his ribs will be pressed together. He will be engulfed by its heat, and a bed will be spread for him from the fire. The torment and bliss of the grave are both confirmed in the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah. The Prophet said,
تعوذوا بالله من أربع. I told you this before. So before your salam, what do you say? Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min azab jahannam wa min azab al-qabr wa min fitnat al-mahya wal-mamat wa min fitnat al-masih al-dajjal. Before the salam, memorize it. Memorize it. These are from the treasures that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us. It's not only في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله, or someone said في العالمين إنك حميد, ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة. It's good, but it's not what the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told us. He said these four things particularly, and the most important, I don't want to say all important, but especially which one? عذاب القبر. Because جهنم, we know جهنم. May Allah سبحانه وتعالى protect us from جهنم. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يحرم جباهكم الراكع الساجد عن النار. We know جهنم, and we know فتنة المسيح الدجال. We heard about it, and we read about it, and we know المحيا, فتن المحيا والممات, the فتن that we live in. But the one which is our first stop is فتنة القبر, because القبر أول منازل الآخرة, as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said.
Seek refuge in Allah from four things: the punishment of hell, the punishment of the grave, the trial of life and death, and the tribulation of the pseudo-Christ, Ad-Dajjal. So the Prophet ﷺ used to seek refuge from the punishment of the grave. In the Quran, there are references to the torment of the grave. Allah the Most High says,
وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ.
And verily, we will make them taste of the near torment prior to the supreme torment in the hereafter. It is said that this refers to the torment of the grave. It is also said that it refers to the punishment of this world. And in the statement of the Most High confirming Fir'aun and his people,
النار يعرضون عليها غدوا وعشيا ويوم القيامة ويوم تقوم الساعة أدخلوا آل فرعون أشد العذاب.
The fire, they are exposed to it morning and afternoon, and on the day when the hour will be established, it will be said to the angels, cause Fir'aun's people to enter the severest torment. They are exposed to it morning and afternoon. This is in the grave. When they died, they began to be exposed to the fire morning and afternoon. And when the resurrection is established, it will be said to the angels, cause Fir'aun's people to enter the most severe torment. Allah the Exalted says,
وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكًا وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى.
But whosoever turns away from my reminder, neither believes in this Qur'an nor acts on its orders, verily for him is a life of hardship, and we shall raise him up blind on the day of resurrection.
Continue inshallah tomorrow with this. It's on left. Want to finish it?
We can finish this one.
Okay, only 2 minutes inshallah, because I already passed time. Okay, go ahead.
They, the scholars of Quranic exegesis, said a life of hardship is in the grave, and refuge is with Allah. The proofs of the punishment of the grave are mutawa tira. So whoever denies the punishment of the grave from the mutazila and their like is in opposition to the proofs that are mutawa tira. Such a person is defective in his aqidah, and Allah's refuge is sought. He is devoid of one of the fundamental principles of aqidah, which is to believe in the torment of the grave. If he does that intentionally, while knowing the text of the Quran and Sunnah about this fact, but stubbornly contends and denies it, then he is a disbeliever. If he is, however, one who is mistaken, a blind follower, or an ignorant person, he is not declared a disbeliever. He is rather declared to be astray, but he is not declared a disbeliever. His saying, Munkar and Nakir. Munkar and Nakir are names of two angels who will come to him, the dead, in a dreadful image. One of them is called Munkar, while the other is called Nakir, as it has been reported in the Ahadith.
So Munkar wa Nakir. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يوفقنا وأن يثبتنا وأن يرحمنا وأن يجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. جزاكم الله خيرا.